Chapel Service, September 22nd, 1983, continuing the missionary series. Seated. From the 19th Psalm, beginning reading with verse 1. How clearly the sky reveals God's glory.
how plainly it shows what God has done. Each day announces it to the following day. Each night repeats it to the next. No speech or words are used. No sound is heard. Yet their voice goes out to all the world and is heard to the ends of the earth. And then in the latter part of this great hymn, keep me safe from willful sins. Don't let them rule over me. Then I shall be perfect and free from the evil of sin. May my words and my thoughts be acceptable to you, O Lord, my refuge and my redeemer. Let us pray. O God, our Father, let our first thoughts today be of you. Let our initial impulse be to praise and to worship you. Let the first words of this day be a blessing, and let our prayer be a petition for the heart and the spirit of our Lord Jesus Christ. A heart compassionate for those who are weak and in need. A heart motivated to minister rather than to be ministered unto. A heart disposed to forgive the offenses we suffer, but a heart disposed to defend those who cannot defend themselves. Mold in us, O Lord, a heart fixed upon the coming of your kingdom on earth as it is in heaven, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Charles and Mary Love are missionaries to Guyana, where they have served for 18 years in one of the most difficult and during one of the most trying periods in that small nation's history. It appeared for a time that we would not be able to have any mission representation in Guyana, but in the providence of God and in the workings, the capriciousness of governments, Charles and Mary were allowed to return. I asked Mary yesterday, where is your origin? Where were you? Where are you from? And she answered, I'm from everywhere. And I said, that's quite an accomplishment. But as I thought about it, I wish I could say, that's where I'm from, everywhere. Literally, her father was a mission pastor, Texas, Mexico, Arizona, Oklahoma, and with her husband after college and seminary, went as pioneer missionaries into the Midwest, the state of Nebraska, and since 1965, she has served with him in Guyana. They are the parents of five children, two daughters born during their college days at Hardin-Simmons, two sons born during their days at Southwestern Seminary, and a daughter born in Nebraska. And all of the time, she was able to complete the requirements that qualified her for a mission appointment. Charles is from the mountains of Kentucky. Coming out of a home, he told me, a home of non-believers, unbelievers. Converted, met Mary in Amarillo, Texas while he was in the Air Force. They married and did their college work and seminary work together. Appointed by the Foreign Mission Board in 1965, entering a country that was then British Guiana, achieving its independence the following year, 1966. Economically, politically, it has been downhill for that country almost since 1966. But spiritually, it has been uphill. For Guyana has some of the most remarkable Baptist work that I have ever seen, partially due to the work of the Loves and the Bradys, Otis and Martha Brady, whom some of you know. We're grateful to have them here on our campus with the other missionaries this week. Their assignment, field evangelism, church development, and Charles has served also as director of the theological work in that country.
We'd like to begin by sharing three or four verses that are especially meaningful to us. First one I'd like to read is found in Acts chapter 20, verse 24. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy in the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. And then two verses from Psalm 15, just near to where Dr. Neely was reading a while ago. Psalm 16, verse 5 and verse 6. The Lord is the portion of my inheritance and of my cup. Thou maintainest my lot. The lines are fallen unto me in pleasant places. Yea, I have a goodly heritage.
And from Matthew 9, verses 37 and 38. The harvest is so great, and the workers are so few. Pray to the one in charge of the harvesting, and ask him to recruit more workers for his harvest field. And 1 Timothy 1:12, how thankful I am to Christ Jesus our Lord for choosing me as one of his messengers and giving me strength to be faithful to him. Charlie, aren't you glad that God looks down and chooses the ordinary people of life?
I really am, I tell you, because if that was not true, you would not have chosen me. As Alan Neely mentioned a while ago, I'm from the hills, maybe not the mountains, but from the hills of western Kentucky. And Mary, you've always called me a hillbilly, and maybe you were right about that. I was born there and grew to 9 years of age in a home that was not Christian. I'd never entered a church house until we had moved to Colorado when I was the age of 9. Because of my mother's health, she had tuberculosis. A short while after getting into Colorado, she died because it was really too late for any cure to be effected. But because of the influence of an aunt of mine who began to raise my brother and me after my mother died, I came to know Jesus as my Savior. Because of my aunt and because of a Sunday school teacher, trusted Jesus at almost 13 years of age, but did not really live for the Lord in a close way during my junior high and high school years. When I finished high school, I went into the Air Force, remained for 6 years in the Air Force, and decided to make that a career. Served 3 years in Japan, then when I came back to Texas, was stationed in Amarillo, began attending a Baptist church there, and began to realize for the first time, actually, in my Christian life, that God has a will and plan for each individual's life. And along about that time, the family moved to that city and into that church. And the young lady, she's still a young lady, and I looked and I said, I'd like to marry that young lady. And that's where Mary and I met, right there in that church.
Well, I felt like God wanted me to be a preacher's wife, and I was going to find a preacher in seminary. But it happened I was a junior in high school. And when a boy asked me for a date, I would say, do you plan to be a preacher? And they always laugh. So I formed an old maids club. I wasn't going to date anybody. And when he asked me, do you feel like God wants you to be a preacher? He didn't laugh because he didn't know what was happening. He knew, he thought he couldn't be a preacher, I think.
I didn't think I had any qualification, any gift along that line. And probably that was the furthest thing from my thoughts, because I'd actually more or less decided I'd stay in the Air Force as a career and to The idea of being a preacher was frightening to me. And yet at that very time, we were studying a unit in our youth training union on finding God's will. And God was doing something in my heart. And when she asked me that question, it didn't really scare me away like it had some of the other young men she'd asked that.
Well, instead of going to seminary, I have never told this publicly before, but I got married the week I finished high school. Charlie had already gotten out of the Air Force and gone to Hardin-Simmons, and we finished school together. And like he said, in between going to school, I had two daughters. And he graduated, and we went to Southwestern. And I had a son and went back to school and had another son and went back to school, and he graduated again.
While I was getting a B.A., she was getting two M.A.s, Mama, our two daughters.
But the reason I'm sharing it, I want to encourage you who have wives who have not finished school and you think maybe they can't be missionaries along with you, but a wife has to have the equivalent to 60 hours, and that can combine different kinds of education together. And we did not plan for me not to finish school. It just worked out that way. And after Charlie graduated and from Southwestern, the Lord led us into Pioneer Missions. But Charlie, we had been talking all along about what if God called us overseas. We did not want to limit the Lord's use in our life by my not going to school, and I tried to get enough hours. I'm not saying I have enough. I'm still studying on furloughs. But how did we come to find God's will as far as foreign missions was concerned?
Well, even in those early years at Hardin-Simmons in university, we thought that it might be possible someday that God would lead us overseas. But you know, I don't remember ever meeting a missionary while I was in university. Not a one. In fact, I was afraid of missionaries. I thought they were odd. Now I know they are. Not really. They're great people. One of our daughters said one time, says, "Daddy, are all missionaries crazy?" You have to learn to laugh at yourself to get along. But you know, I had not met a missionary. In fact, I did not even meet a missionary until I got into seminary. And I think I went to one or two mission days at seminary. But God began dealing with us about the possibility someday we might serve overseas. And we felt when we committed our lives to serve God that it could involve overseas service. And we were open. We felt like we were open to that possibility if it should come along. And when we got to the seminary, we began taking turns keeping the children. We had about three of them by then, while the other one went to camp. And something happened at a camp. Mary was getting ready to go to a camp, and I said, "Mary, don't go to that camp and make a decision to become a foreign missionary, because I think that's something we need to do together." But what happened?
Well, I tried not to, but at that particular camp, I was always stirred up by missionaries. But this time it was like God was saying, "This is for you." And I said, "But God, Charlie's not here, you know." And I talked to the camp missionary, and he said, "Mary, just like salvation is for you personally, you cannot get saved for Charlie. You can't call Charlie. The Lord will call him. If this is more than emotions, you can trust God to call Charlie." So I went forward, and when I got home, Charlie said, "How was camp, Mary?" And I told him, and he wasn't very excited about my decision. So I learned to leave that with the Lord. I just gave that to the Lord.
But you know, the Lord ganged up on us. He sent Dr. Cawthon to Southwestern Seminary a couple of months after that to do a religious emphasis. And if God is dealing in your heart about foreign missions, and you listen to Dr. Cawthon and don't do something definitely about it, something's wrong somewhere, because he came and I felt really that God was indicating this in my life. And so I asked Mary, I said, "Mary, would you be willing to take our little children and go overseas?" And she said she would. And so we made a decision, public at the seminary, and also public at the church we were attending in Fort Worth. And I think it's very significant, if God speaks to us, that we make that decision known to other people so that they can join with us in affirming us and praying with us about that, because that was very meaningful that happened, because we sort of got away from it. After making the decision, the urgency seemed to go away, and we went on through seminary, pastored in near Gatesville, Texas, then went into Pioneer Missions, and when we got to Nebraska, We felt like we'd arrived on the foreign mission field already. We thought, this is foreign missions right here. We'll just stay here in Nebraska, and we could have been content to do that. But because a pastor in Kansas who was attending a pastor's conference in Lincoln, Nebraska, and this pastor knew somehow that we had made a decision for foreign missions while we were in the seminary. And we were having lunch, and three times during that lunch, he said something to me. He was kind of prodding me. He said, "Charles, aren't you a foreign mission volunteer?" I said, "Yeah, yes." And I changed the subject, you know, real quick, and we went on eating. And a second time he mentioned something. Then after lunch, we got outside, and he said, "Charles, if you intend to do anything about foreign missions, that you better look into it, because you're getting to the age now to where you need to know whether it's foreign missions or not, because you're going to go beyond the age and you won't be able to qualify." And that really bugged me, you know. I thought, well, what's that to him? So I went home, but on the way home, the Lord began to really deal with me. And I got home, I said, "Mary, we're going to have to look into this matter in a more serious way now as to whether or not God really intends for us to be involved in foreign missions."
So you see, we were not sure. And when we contacted the Foreign Mission Board, we did not sign our lives on the dotted line. We are, you know, ready. But we were exploring the possibilities. They were exploring the possibilities with us, too. And through the months of procedure, the steps of appointment, we trusted the Lord to close the door or to open the door. And it kept opening, because by then we had five children. And listen, they all had to be healthy, all five children. We had to be healthy, too. And everything had to keep opening, because at any time the door could have closed. At the end of that period, we felt so strongly that God wanted us overseas, we were afraid we might not be approved. If we had not been approved to be appointed, we still would have benefited from the process that we went through, writing our life histories and exploring what we believe. But God, in His will, allowed us to be approved. But one thing remained, one big question mark, and that was, where were we to go?
The world is a big place, but the Foreign Mission Board doesn't just put their hand on the map and say, "We need a missionary in Botswana, and you're the next one on the list, so there you go." But they insist, rather, that you feel God leading you to a specific place. But the various missions around the world send in requests, and they make job descriptions. They list gifts and abilities and talents of people that they need in their work who could help them to fulfill their mission there. And then the Foreign Mission Board makes this available to people whom God is dealing with concerning missions, and then there's opportunity to pray about different possibilities as to where you will serve. And you know, God can show you, maybe not with an audible voice, maybe not with a vision of any kind, but God can show you where He would have you to serve. Just the other night when we were driving back from the Panhandle in Texas, where we'd been on a speaking engagement that weekend, we got to talking about this matter of our being called to missions and trying to compare it with pastoring in the States. For instance, the church we spoke at that weekend, the pastor and his wife had gone to another city in view of call to another church. They had told their church, "You know, we don't really feel like it's God's will for us to leave our church here, but at least we need to be willing to investigate the possibility." So they went. I don't know whether they accepted. We haven't heard about that. We got to thinking that the analogy between that and investigating possibilities for foreign missions, that I don't see so very much difference in it, except that you don't go to Japan in view of call or something like that. But at least you could investigate possibilities. And there are so many possibilities. And as you were saying, Mary, enter a door if it's open. And if another door is open, enter that door. And if God does not intend it, then a door could close and you could find another way to go.
I agree, Charlie. And the world is so big, but He narrowed it down to two countries. And as we begin to pray, I've never been in love with two guys, but it was like one week we were in love with Argentina, and the next week we were in love with Guyana. And the Foreign Mission Board kept saying, "Take your time." And the Lord gave us that surety that it was this little country. And the psychiatrist, when we went for our interview, which is the last thing you do in your procedure, he said, "Don't you think you're being naive to go with your family to a country you've never seen?" And I thought about that a lot. That's a valid question, but God called us and He's kept us there. And in the years that we've been there, as our work grew and missionaries came, the country became a socialist republic. All the missionaries left. Our children grew up, and they all left too, to come back to the States for high school and college. Times got very hard in Guyana. We cannot buy the essential foodstuffs that we need. And there's a little plaque on my wall that says, the will of God will never leave you, for the grace of God cannot keep you. And we get lonely and we get frustrated. But do you know, underneath all of it is the joy and the peace of knowing that we are where God has called us to serve. And I'm thankful that He calls even to places where we don't go in view of.
And you know, we've said over and over again from the very beginning that God has put us on a great adventure. It has been a great adventure. It continues to be a great adventure. This is our fourth furlough. Each time we come back, we have to really know assuredly that God is still in it for us to be in Guyana. And so far, each time it has been that, and we've gladly gone back. The last time we went back, the door was closed. We should not have gotten in, at least from a human point of view. I went back ahead of Mary because we did not have permission to go. Stopped in Puerto Rico and visited with a friend, missionary friend, Howard Shoemake, who was then serving in Dominican Republic. And I said, Howard, what advice would you give me on going back in as I face immigrations there at the airport in Guyana? He said, just go in there like you own the place. Just go in and like you've been living there all the time. Just go right on in and present yourself to them. I did that. I went in and got in the residence line, gave them my passport. The man looked at my passport and he said, where's your permission to work in this country? And I was just dumbfounded. I didn't know what to say. I said, well, this is a new passport. I said, maybe the stamp didn't get put in there. And he looked at me and he said, how long do you plan to stay here anyway? Indefinitely? I said, yes, sir. And he stamped that passport, gave it back to me. That was God's doing. I was just amazed. I couldn't even say another word. I just couldn't even thank him. I just picked it up and walked away, and we were back in. Our time is gone. We could talk to you all day, but I know you have other things to do. But we want to just close by saying that we are not as young as we used to be. We're not really old, understand me. But we have had to face the fact that we could become prematurely gray. And the other day, I was really reminded of this. I was in a drugstore in Abilene, Texas, to pick up a prescription. And the lady said, is there a discount on this? And, you know, I'm just new on furlough. And I said, I don't know what kind of discount you're talking about. And she said, senior citizen. I said, no, not yet. Well, I told Mary, she said, oh, well, she just thought you were picking that up for some old person. But I'm not too convinced of that yet. But the point is that in a few years, many missionaries like us will be coming back off the field. And there are so many opportunities to go into new areas as well as to replace missionaries who are coming out of other areas. And we just want to leave a challenge with you that you would be willing to investigate every possibility that God lays before you for foreign mission service. And I would go so far as to say that if you are healthy physically, reasonably healthy mentally, emotionally, especially spiritually, and if you can meet qualifications for going overseas, I would urge you very strongly to investigate every possibility of serving God overseas, where the needs are far greater than they are in Nebraska, where the needs were great, or in North Carolina, where the needs are great. But anywhere overseas, the needs are far greater. I would urge you to consider God's plan for your life overseas. Would you stand with us as we have our benediction? Lord, as we stand in these days and recognize the unparalleled opportunities to serve you in so many places around the world and to do so many kinds of work in so many places, we just thank you for the day in which we live. And I thank you, Lord, for the potential that is right here in this place for service today and these days and days in the future for you, and earnestly pray for your guidance in each of our lives that we may find your will and find the greatest joy of all of our lives in doing your will. In Jesus' name, amen.